Later this week, voters in one Central American country will head to the polls in the first round of their presidential election, and Friday marks an important anniversary in Iran. Those are two of the biggest stories on the international stage in the coming days, and with me for our weekly look at some of them is the BBC's Rich Preston. But Rich, let's start in India, where there's a big Supreme Court hearing coming up over a disputed holy site. What is the story there?
Well, Mark, it's a long, complicated and contested one, but here's the subbed version for you. In the Indian city of Ayodhya, that's in the northern state of Uttar Pradesh, there was, for several hundred years, a mosque built in 1528. But Hindus said the mosque was built on the ruins of a Hindu temple, and that in fact it was the birthplace of a Hindu god, Ram. Long dispute ensues, and in fact the first court case was actually raised in 1885. Spin forward to 1949, and some Hindu activists started smuggling statues of Ram into the mosque, fanning flames further. Spin forward even more, in 1992 a Hindu group stormed the mosque and pulled it down. That sparked riots across India that resulted in the deaths of about 2,000 people. Then a court ruling said the site should indeed be a Hindu temple. Muslims, however, say the mosque should be rebuilt and appealed that earlier ruling. That appeal is due to be heard tomorrow.
Why is this case so important?
Well, Mark, India's had several bloody instances when tension between Hindus and Muslims has turned violent. The current Prime Minister of India, Narendra Modi, is running for re-election later this year. Now, he has the support of people who believe India is a Hindu country and that Muslims therefore shouldn't have prevalence in public life. So the stage is already set for a very contentious election. And no matter what the court decides, there are fears that it could lead to violence from hardliners on either side.
All right, Rich, let's move from India now to Iran, where Friday of this week is an important anniversary there. What's happening?
Well, it's the start of what's called the 10 Days of Dawn. That's 10 days of celebration and events marking the 1st of February 1979, when the revolutionary leader Ayatollah Khomeini returned to Iran from political exile. Celebrations end to mark the day the Shah was overthrown and the revolutionaries won. But this year's an important one. It's the 40th anniversary.
So will people in Iran be marking the anniversary?
Well, aside from the usual crowds of people who gather every year in support of the Islamic Republic and its current leaders, this year the occasions coincided with months of street riots and demonstrations. In many cities, groups of Iranians have been protesting against the lack of democratic and civil rights and the dire strait of the economy, which in part is down to severe US and international sanctions imposed on the country. Rights groups say Iran has arrested 7,000 people in the past year alone, including students, lawyers, journalists and women's rights activists. So an occasion which is supposed to highlight the victory of the revolution is now partly marred by unrest over poverty, corruption and the lack of political and social freedoms.
All right, Rich. Finally, for today, on Sunday, voters in El Salvador will go to the polls in the first round of a presidential election there. Who is running?
Well, there are several candidates, but the main two are the right-wing Carlos Calleja and Nayib Bukele. Mr. Bukele is the heavy favourite to win. He's a bit of an outsider, not linked to the two main parties. He's won support for his harsh criticism of traditional politicians, and he's very active on social media. That might sound familiar. Here's Rafael Gomez from our Spanish language service, BBC Mundo.
Besides focusing his attacks on the traditional political elite, Mr. Bukele has showcased in his campaign the infrastructure works he conducted during his term as mayor of the country's capital, as a sign that he can deliver the same in other parts of the country. El Salvador remains one of the poorest countries in Latin America and the origin of many offenders who find their way into the United States.
Now, there are reports that up to a fifth of Salvadorans follow Mr. Bukele on social media, and his live videos regularly reach a million views. But there are concerns that he doesn't really face much scrutiny. That's because he didn't really interact with journalists very much, and it's not exactly clear what his policies are.
And Rich, of course, El Salvador is usually in the headlines here for stories related to gang violence, migrants fleeing that violence, including many of those who tried to come to the U.S.
Yes, that's right. And if Mr. Bukele wins, this is going to be a major issue for him to tackle, because some of those numbers related to fleeing migrants are pretty staggering. Some groups that monitor displaced people, for example, found that in 2017, more than 250,000 people were forced from their homes in El Salvador. And that's for a country with only a population of 6.5 million itself. People say they don't really feel safe leaving their houses because of criminal gangs. So whoever wins the presidency is going to have a difficult time breaking those gangs, which control so much of the country.
All right. That's the BBC's Rich Preston. Rich, as always, really good to talk to you. Thank you.
Pleasure, Mark. Thank you.